continue to worship through prayer. Pray along with me. We believe in you, God. Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. We worship you this day in awe and wonder of your matchless works. We believe that the world was perfect and sinless in the beginning, and yet sin entered the world by man in the garden, and our relationship with you was damaged. Yet you made a way for us to be redeemed back to you through Jesus. We believe in you, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, one who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, living a sinless life, fully God and fully man. Yet you suffered the affliction and judgment of the people. You were crucified, you died, you were buried, all as a payment for our sins. And today, by confession and repentance, we have the assurance of your forgiveness. We believe and give thanks that you overcame death and rose victorious after 3 days, ascending to the right hand of the Father and giving us the hope and promise of eternity with you for those who choose to believe and follow in your ways. We believe in you, Holy Spirit, the one whom you sent to be with your disciples then and now, to lead and to guide, to convict of sin and to impart the power of God in our lives. We believe that you continue to shepherd your church, drawing unbelievers to yourself until the day of your return when we will be with you forever. Thank you, God, for never giving up on us. Thank you for continuing to refine and remold us into the likeness of Christ Jesus. We are as clay in your hands. Have your way in us, we pray. And God, we pray for many of the upcoming ministry opportunities that you would have your way in those. We pray for VBS. We pray for Ignite. We pray for the youth and adults that are going to Haiti this summer. We pray for those that are going on Confrontation Point. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would go ahead of this, that you would be working in the lives of those who are going to be engaging in these opportunities, that for not only the workers that there would be transformation, but for the lives that they will have impact on, that you would do a mighty work of transformation, bringing those who don't know you into a relationship with you and refining the faith of those who have put their trust in you. And God, today we pray for the Davises as they do your work in Bangladesh to build your church, and specifically, Lord, as they build a new mission hospital. God, would you help them in this effort? Would you work in the lives of those who are ministering there? We pray for the medical team as they prepare to transition into this new facility, and we pray for the addition of other workers to come alongside them to work in this medical facility. God, do a mighty work in Bangladesh. May you be revealed to those who don't yet know you. And God, now as we continue to worship you, we do those through the giving of our tithes and offerings. God, we give not out of obligation, but we give because you gave your all for us. And we return now these tithes and offerings for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Elders are gone. Pastor's gone. So you're left with me. Sorry. Paul called me up and he said, hey, would you be willing? And I said, well, yeah, what's the verses? And he gave me the two hardest sections in 1 John. And so today, I won't do it the service that I wish I could. It's something that should take 3 or 4 hours just to even scan. But again, we're going to talk about the prayer that God answers. And before we start this, I mean, part of the joke of this is that prayer is probably the spiritual discipline I struggle with the most. It is something that that I do, not as a chore. It's not that I don't enjoy it. It's just, it's a mystery. And it's so hard for me to think through that mystery. Second thing is that it's something that is confusing to me. If God knows everything, why do I need to tell him stuff, right? And maybe some of you that's gone through your mind before, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Today we do have some homework. I know, students, you think school's done. Sorry, it's not. Sorry. Everybody take out your 3x5 card, and you'll need a writing utensil. If you don't have one, quick, grab for the pencil before somebody else does, or borrow somebody else's. If you don't have a card, raise your hand, and they'll get you one. So the way this works, okay, we're going to try and answer this question. If you could personally ask God for anything, I mean absolutely anything, and this is for you, it's not for somebody else. If you could personally ask God for anything right now, what would it be? For some of you, that's really easy. For some of you, you've been thinking about this all morning. This is something I really need from God. For some of you, you haven't thought about it this week. But just for a second, think. I personally need something from you, God. If you could ask for it, what would you ask for? Really, what would you ask for? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take your little 3x5 card, and you're going to take it this way, and then you're going to turn it this way, and you're going to fold it in half up and down. Okay, so it's got a crease in the middle. Then you're going to fold the top down to the middle, and then the bottom up from the middle. So you want your paper to have these three creases in it. If it's not perfect, it's okay. All you engineers are still measuring, I see. So we're going to be using this card, and what I want you to do is I want you to take your writing utensil, and that thing that went through your mind, the thing I really, really need from God right now, write it down. Don't write a book, just a word or two that helps remind you, what is the thing I really, really need from God right now? For some of you, this is really hard. For some of you, again, like I said, this is emotional. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. That's a lot of words, and here we go. And this is the confidence that we have towards him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That word confidence, okay? You guys are in America. We think of confidence, right? As, you know, often we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, right? We think something unreasonable about ourselves. I have kids that come into my office and they think they're going to be the next Steph Curry and they don't play basketball. We have this confidence that our outward persona, not so much, but in our heads, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. There's this sort of, you know, I'm about to go into a business meeting. I need to puff myself up. So I need to show confidence, right? It's this American thing. We can do it, right? If you're an athlete, you just do it. It is that confidence, right? But that's not what this word means, okay? Confidence in Scripture is two words put together, and the root is all, every, utter, speak, say. So the confidence in this verse isn't the puffed up type. It is freedom in speaking. It's unreservedness of speech. It is this speech that we can have with our friends. When you don't know somebody, you sort of guard the things you say and you're careful about the words you say. With your friends, you say whatever, right? And there's things that you tell your friends you wouldn't tell anybody else, right? And that's what this word means. It is that confidence. It's that song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, right? We can tell him anything because he is a friend. This is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Think about that. He hears us. I think that's wild. The creator of all, the God of the universe, right, doesn't do this, right? La, 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 right? He's perfect. We're not. He has absolutely no reason to listen to us, but it says he hears us, right? This last week, I took Julie's dad to get a hearing test. He's had horrible hearing loss ever since he was in the Army, and he went to the VA clinic, and he went and had this little test, and it's so funny because he has these headphones in, and I hear this beep, beep, and he looks at me and he goes, she's not doing anything back there. Beep! Right? So they fit him with some hearing aids, and hopefully these will work better than the last 10 pairs he's had. But for those of you who live with hearing loss or who have friends that have hearing loss, somebody says, do you hear me? And there's silence, right? Or do you hear me? Huh? Right? Or do you hear me? Yeah? Or yeah, right? It is different levels of hearing. We have a God that is tuned in to listen to us. That's freaky to me. That is unbelievable to me, right? He hears me. It's in present tense, so it's something that he does all the time. It's not just something he heard me or he will hear me. He hears me. It is active, right? He is listening. Really? Really? So here's what I want to do. Let's do this experiment, okay? You can do this with your eyes open. Everybody say, dear God, it's, say your name, it's Mark. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for being here today. We serve a God who heard every one of you, heard every one of your names, right? And he did that at the same time he's hearing people in Uganda and Bolivia and Paraguay and Haiti and the Dominican Republic. We have a God that can simultaneously listen to each and every one of us actively. This is absolutely crazy, right? First Peter says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. Now, for those of you that don't know the Lord, right? It says, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, right? So this is about those that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't, you can. It's not that he doesn't hear anything you say, but this is a different level of listening that he does to the believer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That if we ask anything, he hears us. If you ask, that thing you wrote on your paper, if you ask that of him, he actively will listen and hear you. And then there's this, according to his will. Different scriptures, right? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything in my name. In the day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Whatever you ask of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Okay? That's an important caveat in this statement, right? And the reason is that your joy may be full. In my name, according to my will, are important parts of this. What does that mean? For this is the will of God, right? 1 Thessalonians makes it clear that what is God's will? What is in his name mean? God's will is for your sanctification. God's will is for your cleanliness, for your It is, and it actually lists in 1 Thessalonians here one of those things, right? That you abstain from sexual immorality. That's such a big deal that it's written right here. God's will is your sanctification, your cleansing, your consecration. He wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants you to be clean. if you could personally ask God to help cleanse you, right? There's a main sin that you struggle with. All of us sin a lot. We sin in a lot of ways, right? But if you could ask right now for God to cleanse one thing, to help you with that one area that you just fight all the time, right? If you could ask him for that one area, what would it be? Really, if you could personally ask God right now to help you with that one sin that just you struggle with, write on your piece of paper. Second spot, write it there. That one sin that keeps coming up. For me, it's pride. I struggle with pride. Yesterday, I was throwing blue stuff in my pond to keep the algae from growing, right? Sort of blew up in my face. And I got some in my white hair. And the last thing I wanted to do is come in front of all you guys with the old blue-haired man up here, right? And it really went through my mind. It's like, oh, I can't have blue hair tomorrow. I got to get this out of... Who cares, really, if my hair was blue today? I should have left it. That would have been fun. But what is that sin? What is that thing? It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and he hears us in whatever we ask. It is the way the scripture emphasizes things often. It says it one way, it repeats it. So it says, if we ask anything, he hears us. He hears us in whatever we ask. He didn't. It wasn't that he forgot what he said the first line. It is an emphasis, right? We know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Says it again. There's a theologian, Trench, who said, we must not conceive of prayer as an overcoming of God's reluctance, but as a laying hold of his highest willingness. God wants to hear your prayer. He wants to know your greatest need. He wants to know the sin that you struggle with the most. He wants to help you with that. It is his greatest willingness. And so God answers prayer, right? He answers prayer sometimes, no. You know, it's interesting. It was a few weeks ago, we were at NCAA National Championships. My nephew is a gymnast. If you ever see a Yoder, like, in the Olympics, it's not me. So we're at the gymnastics championships, and it was Easter Sunday. We couldn't be here, and we were with some family, and so we went to a church. And we went to a Vineyard Pentecostal church. And so when Paul asked me to preach about prayer this morning, that came back vividly in my mind. And the pastor stood up front and showed pictures of people from their congregation that had problems in their marriage. And then they showed the next picture of how God had fixed that. Showed people that had a disease and how I had prayed for them and then God fixed it, right? They showed people there that couldn't have children, couldn't bear children. And they put up a picture with a family with four kids, right? And I left there so mad, right? Because you don't want to tell everybody that God just does everything that you ask in a magic way, because when that doesn't happen, what happens to that person's faith, right? It freaked me out. But then I thought often how we pray, right? And I thought about, and how I pray. It's like, God, I really wish you'd take this cancer away, but I know you won't, so here's how I'm going to process this, right? And sometimes I wondered if maybe in their quickness to rely totally on God to meet every need they have, maybe I don't, and that the truth lies somewhere in there. And this helps me process this. God sometimes answers no, right? And the reason he says no is because I love you too much to let this happen, right? Dear God, help me to, well, it says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly and you spend it on your passions. Sometimes my requests from God are just dumb, right? It's the situation where a bunch of bank robbers get together and pray, dear God, help this heist to come off well. We laugh, that's stupid, right? Or we do this, right? Where it's like, dear God, I'm in a really tough marriage. Thank you for letting me see this other girl on the side, right? It's not good for us. It's not what God wants of us. And so those are silly prayers, right? Now, we're going to do something real personal here, okay? And all of you, I'm going to have you raise your hand if this is true of you, but just raise it just a little, okay? So other people around can't see. Okay? How many people have actually watched this show? So, I'm not going to rip on my wife for watching this show. I mean, but here is what we do, right? People are so into The Bachelorette that this happens.
Serrani, I was just checking social media. We have viewers complaining already. Just go back to the show. No, we're not going back to the show, folks. This is a dangerous situation, okay? It's nice, right? Think about this was your neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of people complaining about this. Our job here is to keep people safe, and that is what we're going to do. Some of you complain that this is all about my ego. Stop, okay? Just stop right now. It's not. I'm done with you people. I really am. This is pathetic. Dangerous situation here. All right, I'm sorry I did that. It just really bothers me that we have people that don't care about other people's safety around here.
So this was last Monday, right? People are watching The Bachelorette, and they're annoyed that this guy tells them that a tornado is coming at their house. I want to watch The Bachelorette. No. Why? Because it's not what's best for you. There's a tornado coming to your house. The point isn't that The Bachelorette is a bad thing. The point is that sometimes God says no to something that's perfectly okay because it's not what's best for us, right? God's answers are sometimes yes, right? But you have to wait. This is emotional for me. For a lot of you. Thought we were going to miss that rain last night, right? God's answer sometimes is this, yes, but not in the way you expect. So I'm a grandpa, right? Oh, look at her. This is Joy. She's 2.5 months old. And you'll see, I had actually 300 pictures I was going to show you. And after the service, if you'd like, I'd love to show you 300. So we pray, dear God, help our kids to have a healthy kid, right? And some of you, that hasn't been true, okay? We had a healthy kid, a grandkid, right? But she has Down syndrome. So all of a sudden, the answer was yes, but it's not what you expect. And all of a sudden, my world has changed. And I listen to things differently, and I see things differently, and the world has changed. You know, Jonah Barassa this morning, I almost gave you a kiss on the lips, and I didn't. Jonah's working with special needs people. I know quite a few of you people do that, right? And all of a sudden, I love you more than I did 2.5 months ago, right? I will understand love and compassion so much more, right? Isn't she cute? Aww. God's answers are sometimes yes, and there's more, right? So my kids, probably we're only going to all get together once a year. It's rare. Last week we were in Yellowstone. That's why we weren't here last week. And there's Old Faithful near the end of its eruption, and there's my family, and little Joy's in that blanket somewhere. And So we went hiking in the middle of nowhere with a 2-month-old, so that was fun. And we just had a great time, and it was just amazing to spend time together. So we went and saw Old Faithful. Old Faithful's famous. How many people have seen Old Faithful, right? So the reason it's famous is it goes off on a specific time within 10 minutes of when they call it, so you can show up and see it, right? So there's from a mountain we were watching Old Faithful erupt, and you see how far away the people are away from Old Faithful? So I want to see Old Faithful, right? So you go see Old Faithful, and you sit about a football field away, and it's pretty cool, but you're not real close to it, right? And again, it was amazing. It was fantastic. I saw it blow up, what, 5 times? We were there on and off quite a bit, and that was amazing. But later on, it was even more amazing because we were out hiking. And as we were hiking along all the geysers and all this kind of stuff, my kids took a right. I take their picture, and they kept going because they want to go see this geyser. Because this geyser is amazing, right? They want to check it out. And I'm standing next to a U.S. Parks geophysicist. And he said, hey, listen, there's a little tiny geyser that just blew up to the left. A few minutes after that goes off, the best geyser in the whole park is going to go off, right? So I tell my kids, hey, you guys, come over here. Check this out. And they're like, no, we really want to go to the right here. And I'm like, you got to come this way. And they go, no, no, seriously, Dad, you need to follow. And it's like, stop, come this way, right? And there is a geyser called the Beehive Geyser that doesn't go every day, okay? And this isn't the greatest video of it, but it sounds like a jet engine. And we are, from here to you guys, from it. Whereas I don't have to go, you know, look across the county to see it blow up. I'm here, and if I wanted to take a shower in it, I could have moved to the left and took a shower in it, right? And so God sometimes says, yes, but there's something better, right? There's more than what you expect. Something exciting is coming. You just got to be paying attention to it. And that happens through prayer, right? God's answers are sometimes, yes, thought you'd never ask, right? Sometimes God's been working on you a long time to get that answer, right? Somebody came to know Christ that you've been praying for years, right? Something happens. You decide to choose a different profession because you start to see, you know what? This would be a great profession to go into. And God's like, well, finally, you figured it out, right? So the prayers that God answers, I'm going to go through a few scriptures and show you. These are all prayers that I guarantee you God will answer in your life. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. If you say, God, glorify yourself in me, he will answer that prayer. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you say, God, forgive me, he will do that. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts and I will be their God and they shall be my people and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each brother saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. Reveal more of yourself to me. You pray that, he'll do that. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Please, God, give me wisdom. He will answer that. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Strengthen me to obey you. He'll do that if you pray it. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Spread your gospel to the lost. You pray that, he will do that. But be careful, because when we ask looking for answers, be prepared, because sometimes answers appear more as puzzles or problems. You ask for a deeper awareness of God, be prepared, because to have a greater awareness of your sin is necessary to see more of God. Asking to love your neighbors as we love ourselves. Are you kidding me? Neighbors are complicated, right? Messy. Irritating. Ask for the nearness of God. Be prepared, because God says he is near to the brokenhearted. Ask to be a living sacrifice. Be prepared, because to do this, you need a broken spirit. Ask for God's kingdom to come, and you're going to see your spiritual poverty. We're singing today, show us your glory, Lord. Whew, I want to see that, but it scares the ever-loving out of me. Ask for wisdom and discernment, but understand that answers are often really hard, and they're really hard to understand. So, the scripture goes next to this next place where we're not only asking for ourselves, but we're asking for someone else. So, this is the next space you need to fill out. If you could personally ask God for anything for someone else, not you, someone else, right now, what would it be? Really, if you could personally ask God for someone else, for something for someone else right now, what would it be? Write it on that third section. Write it down. As you're writing, the scripture says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. So the scripture says if you see sin, you're supposed to shake your head in disgust. Doesn't say that. If you see somebody else sinning, you're supposed to post it on a social network within 30 seconds of when you saw it. Take a video of it if you can, right? No. It's supposed to call our friends to gossip. Did you hear about? Doesn't say that. Or this sometimes, this hits close to home. We call somebody to pray about it, but really we're just gossiping, right? Start a program to help with the problem. Get the person enrolled. That's not it. Scripture says if you see sin, you are to go right immediately to prayer. That you are to do it personally and go to bat for that person. You are to do it with confidence, right? Like sharing with a friend. Dear God, you know this person's struggling with this. Please, to your Father, who cares more than you will ever know. That's what we're supposed to do. It says, to those who commit sin, it talks about this weird thing, sin not leading to death, right? To those who commit sin that do not lead to death, there's a sin that leads to death, but there is a sin that does not lead to death. So there are 20 answers to what a sin leads to death is, right? I'll give you a few here, okay? Sin that leads to death. It was obvious that John, when he was writing this, it was a specific sin that readers probably would have known about. So he was just not calling out the specific of it, but he was saying, hey, there's a sin that leads to death. You guys know about this. Could have been the false teachers, right? Could have been that. Sin that leads to death could be apostasy, a total denial of Christ and renunciation of the faith. Somebody who just says, you know what, I'm never going to do that. I'm out. Forget it. And they become an apostate. That's a possibility. The scripture talks about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Talks about a physical death caused by the discipline from the Lord. It's you can pray for Ananias and Sapphira, but part of God's plan is to take them out, right? Doesn't happen often in scripture, but there's a few places where God does that. And you can pray for it. God doesn't say you can't ever pray for it, but it's like, you know, this is what I'm doing here. You can pray for it, but that's not going to be the answer. But if anybody sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. Look at this. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, he shall ask, God will give him life. God gives you part of the process of sharing your friend, kids, loved one, neighbor, the thing you see them struggling with, you pray about it. And God listens, he hears, he cares. So the first thing I ask you to write is if you could pray for anything for somebody else. But here's the specific part. If you could personally ask God to help someone else with a particular sin right now, what would it be? A particular sin you know somebody's committing that you could pray for, not gossip about, not shake your head at, but that you are, some of you have shared with me stories of your heart just breaks because somebody is doing this or they're not doing that. Write it down on that fourth spot. Then I want you to take your card and turn it over. And we are a corporate body of believers here at St. John Mennonite Church. And if you could personally ask God for something for this particular body of believers right now, what would it be? Really, what would it be? Something that you think about when you think about this church, something that we need as a body that we can be praying for. Put it on the back of your card. There's a God who loves us, who cares about us, who's compassionate for us, who gives a rip about what goes on in our life, who wants to hear our voice and will listen, and will actively listen to the things that we're praying and reaching out to him with. So now comes an exercise that, I don't know, this is something that we do. But I want to do this morning in a little different way. I want you to take your card and look at the four things you wrote down on the one side of the card. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray by ourselves. You can do it out loud if you want. But in your head, I want you to pray to God who listens and hears you. And I want you to pray earnestly, deeply for those things. And I'm going to direct us as we go through, okay? So if you want to pray with your eyes open, God will hear you that way. If you want to bow your heads. But this is the exercise I want to go through where you know, what's the one thing you really need? The one thing this week that's just been bugging you that, God, you're a friend. I just need to share. I need this. So bow your heads if you want, but let's just pray. That prayer, dear God, I really need this. And look at that first line and just pray to him. Tell him. Let's take a minute and do that. Now, this part for some of you is harder. There's that thing that's just the monkey on your back, the thing you struggle with that keeps you from this open relationship from God, that you are just like, time and time again, keep going back to that. And God, I know you're not pleased by it. It's just so hard. It's that second line, that sin you struggle with. Just take a minute and just go to your Father and just say, God, please help me with this. Please, please help me. Then in your head, go to the next line. There's somebody you know, somebody you're familiar with. It could be a neighbor, it could be a friend, it could be a politician, it could be your kid, it could be your grandkid, it could be somebody that really needs to see God's hand. Just take a second and just talk to your Father. God, please help this person with this need, this want, this desire, this thing that they're struggling with that I just feel I want to pray for them for. That final line, you've seen somebody, you know, sinning, struggling with an addiction, struggling with just something that's not good for them. It's a sin. Take a minute and lift that to your Father. Dear God, please help this person with that area of their life. Mentally flip the card over and just take a second or two and just pray to God for this church, for this body of believers, this community of faith that you guys are hanging out with this morning. What do you need to pray for this body? Elders are praying as we do this from afar. Amen and amen. So what now? Encourage you guys, don't just make Sunday morning the only day you talk to God. He wants to hear from you when you're in the car, when you're driving, when you're walking. Pray you think these things on the list that you wrote. Hope that keeps coming back to your minds. As we pray, it leads to action, right? God, it isn't just a one-way conversation where we just say, God, please, but God's going to show you something this week. And I encourage you to act on it because that's part of that act of worship that you do. Whether it be helping a neighbor, or whether it be connecting with somebody who you've been praying for a long time, whether it be inviting somebody to something, whether it be praying more deeply for a missionary or whatever, just God wants to talk to us. We forget. And he'll actively listen, and he loves you, and he cares for you. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Help us to just spend some time praying today and this week. We thank you so much for the fact that there is an underpinning of prayer to this church, that it's a commitment that we make. I pray we can be part of that somehow. We love you, Jesus. Thank you so much that you love us. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you care about us. Thank you that you answer us. Thank you for the gifts that people bring to this body, and may we serve one another and reach out to a lost world, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, family. Thank you, Jesus.